sincere gratitude to everybody who has assembled this evening. Kula Sheikh, our Prabhu, for opening the doors of your abode for all of us. Dharma Svanushtatapam Shang Vishvakshena Katashriyat Notpadiye Jatiratim Shame Vahikevalam. This beautiful verse was spoken by Suta Goswami to the sages of Naimisharanya. How many have been to Naimisharanya? It's a very, very beautiful holy place on the banks of the Bhagmati River. It is not far from Lucknow and Ayodhya. In fact, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur established Gaudiya Math there, and some of his very famous historical lectures were given in Naimisharanya. Forest of gigantic ancient trees. It's one of the special holy places in India that has not been too much plundered by commercialism, at least on the superficial external layer that we can see with our eyes. In that place of Naimisharanya, Suta Goswami spoke to 88,000 rishis without a microphone. And Sonak Rishi was the spokesman of those rishis. Sonak Rishi, with the sages, had gathered and Naimisharanya because they could see the effects of Kali Yuga were fast approaching. Manda sumanda matayo manda bhagya upadrita. People were becoming so very spiritually lazy, conditioned by so many materialistic desires and attachments. So they asked a series of questions to Suta Goswami. They asked about Krishna's incarnations and how he descends to deliver the fallen souls. And what is the hope for people in this age of Kali? Suta Goswami was so grateful for their enthusiastic inquiry. He proclaimed, Munaya saru prishto ham bhavadbir lokamangalam yat karita krishna samprasno yenatma suprasidati. Here the speaker is praising the audience. He said, your questions are glorious because they are pertaining to the subject matter of Krishna. Therefore, the answers to these questions are for the ultimate benefit for all humanity. Similarly, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, in several places of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, he offers his very worshipable obeisances to the readers for engaging him in the service of the Lord by eagerly hearing the words of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Suta Goswami offered this very beautiful prayer for the welfare of humanity. That whatever our occupation, whatever our efforts in this life, if they do not fructify in increasing our eagerness to hear and chant the glories of the Lord, shrameivahi kevalam, it is all nothing but a useless waste of time. That means however much money we make, however much political power we achieve, however much good health, nice breathing, and good body, it's all shrameivahi kevalam. It's all a waste of time from the point of view of reality, eternity, if it does not increase our eagerness to hear and chant the glories of the Lord. Because that's the essence of what human life is for. Prabhupada taught that the ends and the means are the same in Krishna consciousness. If you ask some sadhus who may have many, many disciples, some of them worship the deity, sometimes Hanuman, sometimes Sitaram, sometimes even Radha and Krishna, sometimes Shiva. And they're even performing bhakti in the sense that they're chanting the names of the Lord, they're doing worship of the Lord, they're doing seva to the Lord. What is the goal of your chanting and doing service? They will say, liberation. The means and the goal are different. They're doing service so that they ultimately transcend all duality, so that there's no question of service. And then they enter into the oneness of liberation. Well, Prabhupada said, if you ask me, what will we get from chanting Hare Krishna? The goal is chanting Hare Krishna. Narottam Das Thakur explains, Golokera Premadana Harinam Sankirtana. That this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra has descended, has in Kali Kale Namarupe Krishna Avatar. The name of the Lord is an incarnation of Krishna in the age of Kali. It has descended from Goloka Vrindavan. In the highest realm of the spiritual world, eternally, the residents are chanting this Maha Mantra. Ultimate glorification of Radharani and Krishna. And that same Maha Mantra has descended, just as Krishna descended in Mathura, in Vrindavan, Gokul. The holy name has descended to make Krishna most accessible to all living beings. So yes, whatever we do, whether it is keeping our body fit, or maintaining a family very nicely, or somehow or other accumulating wealth, education, going to school, developing various fields of knowledge. It is all really worthwhile to the extent that it is meant to facilitate ourselves and others to increase our eagerness to hear and chant the glories of the Lord. Lord Chaitanya taught us, nam nam akari bahuda nija sarva shaktis, tatrabita nyamita smaranena kala, etadrisita vakripa bhagavan mamapi, durdaivam idrisam ihajani nanuraga. That my Lord, you have descended in your name, and you are making yourself available in your name. All your opulences are within your name. And there are not even hard and fast rules for chanting these names. And then he carries on by saying, but I have no attraction for them. This is part of the qualification to chant, is to feel that I have no qualification. And the next verse, of course, is Trinarapi Sunichena Taror Ivasihishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. If you really want to please Krishna in his name so he awakens his transcendental presence, we must be humble like the straw in the street, tolerant like tree, eager to offer respects to others and not expect for oneself. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that everything will be achieved if we just chant the names of the Lord sincerely without offense. Because everything is in the name. He said Krishna's form will be fully revealed to one who offenselessly, sincerely chants with love. Krishna's form, his qualities, his pastimes, his abode, our own eternal relationship with Krishna, everything is revealed within the name. When Krishna is pleased by the humility and the sincerity in which we chant it. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he taught that there's not even hard and fast rules for chanting. It's actually incredible to think about it. If we really contemplate deeply, the name is the deity of Krishna, self-manifested within this world. And you can chant anywhere, at any time. You can't bring your deity in the bathroom with you when you respond to nature's calls, can you? You can, but you'll go to some lower region if you do. Yes. It's like Kartamajan Prabhu, he has these very beautiful, worshipable Krishna Balaram deities. Yes, these are your deities? We were just discussing today, he had them in his nice apartment in Alachua and invited me to come and do satsang, and so many came, and we had these deities just surcharged, such enthusiasm. Devotees were dancing and chanting. The manager of the apartment complex, what are you doing? Two blocks down, we could hear this chanting. This is an apartment. So he didn't tell me, but he told the drummers, stop, stop, you know, slow, very soft, slow. But because I didn't know, I was telling him, so he came. I thought you, he said, yes, yes, just now we're stopping. So he was put on probation. Hari, hari. So these deities, he brought them from Alachua, and when he comes to Sharanagati, he puts them on the worshipable altar where all the devotees come to offer their love and respects. But you won't bring them into the toilet room. You won't bring them just to some dirty place because it's offensive. Because that's the proper rules and regulation for approaching the Lord in his deity form. But the holy name, the deity is fully manifested within the holy name. And we can chant everywhere. You know that famous story in Jagannath Puri? When one person, he became so attached to chanting Harinam that he just couldn't stop chanting. Could you imagine having such a problem where you just can't stop chanting? Some of us are chanting Japa, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. We look at our counter beads to see how much longer we have to continue. Some of us don't even use counter beads anymore. But those who still use counter beads to chant their 16 rounds and follow their vows, two down and 14 to go. Then I could do any old thing. But when we actually develop the higher taste, Rupa Goswami describes, when the two syllables Krishna enter into my ears, I wish to have many, many, many ears. When that name is chanted by my tongue, I wish to have many, many tongues and millions of ears. And when it enters into my heart, it conquers my mind and my senses. This is the sweet taste he's experiencing when he chants Harinam. The Namacharya Haridas, he's tasting such sweet nectar when he's chanting. Ramchandra Khan sent a beautiful professional prostitute, expert at the art of enchantment, to his little kutir in Benapole, in the jungles of Bangladesh today. And he just looked at her and said, sit down when I finish my chanting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. he was tasting such sweetness in the holy name that nothing else was significant. He saw it. Apuryamanama chala pratishtam samudrama papra vishanti yadva. Krishna tells in Gita that when you experience Krishna consciousness, it's like an ocean. It's like an ocean of happiness, of satisfaction. And yes, the pleasures and the attractions of the mind and the senses and the external world, they're still aware of things, but they're like tiny little rivers in comparison. They're there, but they don't mean very much. They have no substance when we taste Krishna. Rupa Goswami warned, if you are attached to all your material conceptions and all your material relationships, I warn you, do not go to Keshi Ghat, because Govinda is standing in his threefold bending form playing on his flute. And if you see him and if you experience his beauty, then the things of this world become insignificant. So this is how Rupa Goswami taught. The nectar of the holy name. It is what we are longing for. It is what we are striving for. But Krishna reveals the nectar of the name according to the sincerity, the humility, and the dedication. And essentially, according to the service attitude in which we chant. So there's one particular devotee in Jagannath Puri. He was so addicted to the chanting of the holy name. It's a more intensified addiction than any of the intoxicating beverages or substances of this world. He couldn't stop chanting. Jive pipasvamita matadeva govinda damodara madhaveti. The gopis in Vrindavan are always praying to their tongue. Always chant the names of Govinda, Damodara, and Madhava. So when this devotee had to go to respond to nature's calls, we all know what that means. He was going to relieve himself. He had his lota in one hand and his gamsha on, and he was going to that secluded place. And his tongue was just chanting, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. But how could I be chanting? Krishna is non-different. He's seeing Krishna. He's tasting Krishna. He's experiencing Krishna. Krishna, his pastimes, his abode, his form, his everything is manifesting within his heart as he's chanting. So he felt very ashamed and offensive to chant while he was passing. So he was with his right hand, he was holding his tongue to somehow or other not chant. And that was a challenge. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, like that. And he was really struggling. Just his tongue just couldn't be held down. It just, Krishna. So one little boy, he was only about 5-6 years old. He happened to see him. He said, what are you doing? What are you holding your tongue like this for? I've never seen anything like this. He said, because I'm going to respond to nature. I can't bring Krishna in that environment. And the boy said, but our Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu, he taught us that there are no hard and fast rules for chanting the holy name. You can chant the holy name anywhere. So the person, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and he was satisfied. Lord Chaitanya happened to see that little boy instructing that person with such faith in the holy name. And Lord Chaitanya was so very happy that he personally embraced him. And you know the story of Abhiram Thakur? Abhiram Thakur was a very famous Vaishnav. He was an incarnation of Sridhama from Krishna's Goloka Lila. And Abhiram Thakur, he was one of the very, very empowered associates of Nityananda Prabhu. But he had special power of mercy. He had a whip. Do you remember the name? Yes, Jayamangal. And if he would touch someone with that whip, they would attain ecstatic love of God. But what were some of the other qualities that were quite unconventional of Abhiram Thakur? Yes. And any others? What happened if he bowed to a devotee? If a devotee had even a single atomic speck of material desire in their heart, if Abhiram offered obeisances, that devotee would immediately drop dead. So he was not very free about offering his obeisances to devotees. Coming from him was a very powerful message. So when he heard that this little boy was preaching so nicely the glories of the holy name, and how Lord Chaitanya embraced him, he decided that I'm going to offer obeisances to that boy, Rivo. So he was in Kanakula Krishna Nagar, which is some distance, and he was coming to Jagannath Puri. And meanwhile, it was very tense what would happen. Will the boy survive the obeisance of Abhiram Thakur? So he came, and the little boy, he also knew the power of Abhiram Thakur. So the little boy happened to be right in front of Lord Chaitanya. And Abhiram Thakur walked in the room, and the little boy jumped in Lord Chaitanya's lap. And Lord Chaitanya went, and then Abhiram Thakur offered his full dandavat obeisances. And the little boy survived by the mercy of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And then Lord Chaitanya personally named that child because he had so much faith in Gopal and because he was a guru. He was a guru because he had such faith in the holy name. The Lord named him Gopal Guru Goswami, who happens to be one of the great acharyas in the Gaudiya Sampradaya. In fact, his disciple was Vakreshwar Pandit, who we were discussing today. So this is the power of the attraction of the holy name of the Lord. And it is to develop that attraction, that attachment, that is really the goal of everything we do. And why do we want to develop that attraction? Not so that we can enjoy. So that we could stop suffering. Preliminarily, that may be motivating us. But really, it's because love pleases Krishna. For Krishna's pleasure. Srila Prabhupada often told a story from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, revealing how love for the pleasure of the Lord is beyond all other considerations. We have so many rules and regulations in Krishna consciousness, and so long as they are favorable for awakening love of God, then we must follow them. But their purpose is always for that purpose, to please Krishna. were not Smarta Brahmins. Smarta Brahmins, sometimes they follow very, very serious rules to very minute details. Rupa Goswami describes in Upadeshamrita, not following the regulative principles is an hindrance to pure bhakti, even a cause of fall down, and following the regulative principles without the proper motivation or understanding could also be a cause of fall down. So Prabhupada explains Kapila Dev's words to Devahuti, that all the rules, all the regulations, and all the instructions of all the scriptures are all servants of the two supremest instructions. To always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna with love. When Srila Prabhupada came to the West, he did things that were, according to orthodoxy, quite different. He applied the regulative principles of pure love, the etiquette and the rules and regulations in such a way that he could best serve Krishna by delivering the fallen souls. Certain detailed rules that people in India followed, he didn't consider very important in his preaching. But yet, when his followers came to India, people were astounded. I personally saw big, big spiritual people, gurus, saying to Prabhupada that we just have never seen such surrender. They'll do anything for you. Whatever you say, they'll just do it. They'll go anywhere. They'll risk their lives 100 million times a minute for you. That's love. That's surrender. No, they may not have understood exactly, you know, how many times to wash your hands after doing this, and they may not understand many of the little details, but they were surrendering their lives. Sarva dharman puritya mami kam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papibhyo mokshayishyami masaja. Krishna says abandon all varieties of religion. That means all these religious disciplines, and ultimately you have to surrender to him. So yes, Prabhupada gave us rules and regulations that are favorable, but he also just overlooked so many because he knew they would be a distraction. Because he understood the power and the spirit of bhakti. Lord Jesus Christ, he chastised the Pharisees in this way. You understand the letter of the law, but you do not understand the spirit and the power behind it. Prabhupada understood so deeply, so profoundly, the spirit of mercy. And ultimately, everything we do is to awaken love. Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings in that beautiful song about Lord Nityananda Mahajan, Nadia Godrumi Nityananda Mahajan. The last line, that the essence of all religion is to show compassion to the fallen souls and to chant the holy names. That is the essence of everything. To chant the holy names and to show compassion to others. Because that is what Lord Chaitanya, who was Radha and Krishna, when they appeared in this world, that's what they did. In the spiritual world, we can have the most wonderful leelas with them, but in this world, we assist them in their mission of giving compassion to others by spreading the glories of the holy name and by tasting it ourselves. just in March, February, March time, the Panchatattva were installed in Sri Mayapur town. Was any of you there at that time? Please raise your hands if you were there. Either you were there or you were not there. But if you were there, you understand what it was. Otherwise, it's very difficult to comprehend. It was an oceanic expression of enthusiasm and devotion. And one of the highlights was before the installation, the message came that His Holiness Sridhar Swami Maharaj was coming to Mayapur to leave his body. It was one of the most wonderful experiences of our lives to see that reception. There were literally thousands of devotees from all over the world. There were devotees from China, from Middle East, from Africa, from Russia, from Australia, from Europe, from America, from South America. There were even devotees from Sharanagati. Thousands of devotees all outside the gate of Sri Mayapur Chandradai Mandir, waiting to offer their respects, their honor, and their gratitude to a man who gave his life and soul to Srila Prabhupada's movement. It was beautiful. Thousands of devotees all singing and chanting. For a long time, because sometimes devotees are late, especially when they're in India. So he came a little late, and there was bells when they heard that his van was somewhere down the road. There were conch shells, and there was sirens, and there was bells, and there was gongs, and there was conch shells, and everybody congregated. What a beautiful scene that was. Devotees who never saw him before in their life, who didn't even know who he was, were weeping tears just to see everybody else's love and respect for him. Devotees crying, devotees singing, devotees chanting, devotees offering him flowers through the window of his car, and he was just very sickly but completely blissful. It was a wonderful scene. I remember speaking to Maharaj before he came to Vancouver, yes? He was in Bombay, and we were doing our Pune Yatra, and while we were in Pune, he was going to Vancouver. He was supposed to go after, but he decided he had to go immediate. So he called me, and he said that, I know I should go because if there's any hope that I could keep this body alive, it's there. But my last desire in life is I want to see the Panchatattva installed. Because it was Prabhupada's dream. So he was there. And he was the presiding honorable Vaishnav in that function. He personally bathed Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Abhishek. And he offered the first aarti to Lord Chaitanya. Chaitanya Charitamrita describes what the Panchatattva's mission were. It said that they descended to break open the seal of the storehouse of love of God. Because when Krishna was here, he performed the leelas of Vrindavan, which culminated in the Braj Gopis rasa with the Lord of Parakya love, the ultimate summit, the crescendo of all spiritual revelation is the love of the gopis. But access to that realization, access into those pastimes, was very, very confidential and very exclusive. But the Panchatattva came and broke open that seal and opened the treasure of love of God. Rup Swarup Damodar Goswami says, what is the nature? The Panchatattva and Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda came to give the revelation of the gopis' love for Krishna in Vrindavan. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna in the spirit of Sri Radha to distribute her love to the world. So they broke it open. And then the Panchatattva, after plundering the storehouse of love of God, they tasted it. And then, tasting that ecstatic love, they became so unlimitedly inspired, they went to distribute it profusely to the whole world. So this is the spirit of our sampradaya. We're the servants of Panchatattva. Prabhupada taught us we must perform our sadhana diligently. There's a famous purse port where Prabhupada explains any devotees who are not chanting their 16 rounds sincerely every day can potentially fall victim to Maya at any given moment. Without the shelter of the holy name, we really don't have defense against Maya. Haridas Thakur, if he couldn't finish his 300,000 names, that's approximately 192 rounds, he wouldn't even eat a morsel of food. He considered himself so spiritually diseased. Prabhupada said, at least we could chant our 16 rounds every day. Prabhupada said so many times, anyone could do it. It's easy. How many of you have that realization that it's easy? It's not so easy. There's so many other things, and there's so many distractions, and there's so many other responsibilities, and there's just not so much taste sometimes. It's not easy. But considering what we're going to get in due course of time, it's very easy. It's the lowest possible price for the highest benediction. So yes, we must learn to taste the nectar of Krishna and simultaneously distribute it to others. Why? Because that is what will please Krishna. So Prabhupada tells a nice story. Do I have time to tell?
Yes. Oh, yes. Many, many stories.
When will the...
Oh, this
at least. Very well. Okay. Just tell me when to stop, Phune. I can be turned off within a second. I am quite disposable. The devotees from Bengal, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, would come every year for the Chaturmasya to Jagannath Puri. And what a wonderful reunion that was. All the devotees, and Shivananda Sen, what a grihastha what he was. He had a wife, he had children. That trip from Navadvip to Puri Dham would take 2 to 3 weeks of actually over 3 weeks. Took Raghunath Das Goswami almost 2 weeks, and he was just practically running there. Takes over 3 weeks. And they have to walk all the way. And there's no hotels or motels. There's no restaurants. He had to arrange every night sleeping facilities. He had to arrange several times a day prasad for 300 to 400 devotees. He organized everything. He financed everything. He didn't even collect donations. He didn't charge anyone anything. It was all on him. He made every arrangement. And he was so broad-minded that even that dog, that very famous, probably the most famous dog of our parampara, he was just a street dog. He wasn't like a pedigree pet. He was an Indian street dog. You've all seen those, haven't you? Huh?
What a bird.
Just one of them. He just joined the party. He was following around, and Shivananda, he has come. I am your servant. He wanted to serve the lotus paws of the dog. That was his mentality. He fed him rice every day, prasad. And he understood the dog wouldn't take what the devotees were eating. He made special kind of rice every day to provide for the dog. And when they came to a boat, and the boatman said, no dogs. Shivananda Saint paid, like, he bribed the man. He bribed him. He paid him like more than the humans by several times to allow that dog to come across the river. And when he was busy paying some tolls and doing some other very important service, he told his assistants, make you sure you feed that dog. When he came back, they just didn't think it important. It just slipped their minds. The dog was gone. We forgot to feed him. Shivananda Sen spent the day looking for that dog. And when they arrived in Puri, they went to see Lord Chaitanya, and who was standing right next to Lord Chaitanya? The dog. This gives hope to all of us, doesn't it? And Lord Chaitanya was taking bites of green coconut pulp, and then right out of his mouth he was throwing it, and the dog would catch it. And then Lord Chaitanya... It was very nice. I'm glad there's no videos today. So, Shivananda Sen, when he saw Lord Chaitanya feeding the dog, he offered his prostrated obeisances to the lotus-like paws of the dog. And in his heart and mind, with tears, he was begging forgiveness for the offense he committed to this dog. That is Vaishnav. And then that dog was never seen again. Why? Because Lord Chaitanya sent him right back home to Godhead. An eternal spiritual form in the spiritual world. Why? Because somehow or other, that dog became dear to Shivananda Sen. Because the blessings of a Vaishnav never go in vain. If anyone one time gets the blessings, the affection of a Vaishnav, that is eternally to their benefit. That person is on their way back to Godhead. Maybe not immediately. That's a matter of independent will. But that person is going to never be forgot. Krishna will never allow the blessings or the affectionate care of his devotee to go in vain. That is a powerful principle that will never be broken. So there is no greater treasure than becoming dear to a Vaishnava. So all the devotees from Bengal, with Shivananda Sen's help, they came to Puri and they met this year at Narendra Sarovar, where there was a very nice festival for Govinda, the deity of Jagannath, who comes and has boat festival, and Lord Chaitanya. All the devotees bathed, and they celebrated the festival. Then they came back to Lord Chaitanya's Gambira, and he greeted them all, and praised them all, and embraced them all, and gave garlands and sandalwood to each of them with his own hands. And then he arranged their residential accommodations, arranged assistance to help them, and said, now, after you settle in, come back to my home for prasad. So they all took prasad. It's wonderful. It's reunion. The love of Vaishnava. There's nothing more dear to Krishna than when he sees devotees lovingly serving one another. This is Srimad Bhagavatam. You know the story of Prachetas. There were 10 Prachetas. They were the sons of King Prachini Barhishat. And they were performing tapasya on their father's order. And Vishnu actually appeared to them at a certain point. And this is what he told them. I am pleased with you, and I will give you the greatest benedictions. Why? I'm pleased with your loving relationships with one another to please me. Because of your relationships with each other to please me, I am so pleased, I will give you everything. So if we want to show our love for Krishna, mad bhakta puja vyadika, we cannot love Krishna without loving his devotees. And if we cannot forgive a devotee, Krishna will not forgive us. Krishna is manifesting and receiving our mercy through Guru and through the Vaishnavas. He's living in the hearts of the Vaishnavas. So Lord Chaitanya's devotees, they had such deep and intimate relationships. And they were disciples of so many gurus and all these other diversities, but they loved one another because they were centered and they respected one another. And therefore, Lord Chaitanya was so pleased with them. So in this sweet mood, Lord Chaitanya told everyone, early tomorrow morning we will go to see Jagannath. So they rose very, very early. And with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the front, they all went to Jagannath's temple. And Lord Chaitanya, with the instruction of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he would stand behind Garuda Stamba, which is actually a distance from Jagannath. How many of you have been inside Jagannath's temple? So, yes. The rest of us are in the Haridas Thakur category, at least aspiring to be. We will offer obeisances to the chakra with great gratitude and chant the holy name. But there's a big, big kirtan hall, darshan hall, called Jagad Mohan. And then there's the altar with Jagannath Baladev Subhadra. And behind the Jagad Mohan is Garuda Stamba. That is what I have been told. Yes? So the Lord went with his devotees. And he divided the devotees into 7 kirtan groups. Just like he would do for Rath Yatra, he did it inside the temple for Lord Jagannath's pleasure. And he had a lead dancer, just like Rath Yatra. 7 kirtan groups, 2 mardangas, 8 karatals in each group, so many singers, a lead singer, dancers. And they were chanting tumultuously. And Lord Chaitanya was just so pleased. He was just, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Hari. He was just investing everyone with more and more enthusiasm to chant Sankirtan. Then Mahaprabhu personally danced. The dance of love. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would dance, it was Srimati Radharani's supreme love for Shyam Sundar manifesting through every graceful movement of his body. Therefore, it was all enchanting. Anyone who saw Lord Chaitanya dance would attain the supreme perfection of life. So he was dancing, and all the 7 groups just made one big circle around him, watching him dance. And he asked Swarup Damodar Goswami to chant a particular verse. And the verse translation is, my head falls at the lotus feet of Lord Jagannath in the kirtan hall named Jagannath. And as Swarup Damodar was chanting that verse, Lord Chaitanya went into such an ecstatic trance. tears were profusely shooting from his eyes like syringes. His hairs were standing on end like the thorns of the sumuli tree. His teeth were shattering so much that each tooth was trembling separately. And they looked like they were all going to fall out in a moment. Sometimes perspiration, sometimes blood was pouring from all of his pores. And as that verse was being chanted, let my head fall at the lotus feet of Lord Jagannath in the Kirtan hall called Jagannmohan, Lord Chaitanya was trying to repeat it, but he became so choked up. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says the only sounds coming out of his mouth were Jajagagaparimumu. Everyone. Jajagagaparimumu. Something like that. Jajagagaparimumu, Jajagagaparimumu. He couldn't say anything else. And he just kept dancing and invoking everyone to dance more and more and more. And there were 100, 400 devotees dancing hour after hour after hour after hour. Finally, it was mid-afternoon. It started like 4 o'clock in the morning. Now it's mid-afternoon, and Lord Chaitanya is still dancing in ecstasy. So Nityananda Prabhu saw that everybody else was so totally fatigued. Out of compassion, he somehow induced all the other kirtans to stop. It was tumultuous. It was spreading in all directions. And he had only Swarup Damodar Goswami singing very, very softly. Lord Chaitanya, when the tumultuous sounds of the murdungas and the karatals and the resounding echo of the holy name reduced to a very quiet sound, he came back to his external consciousness. And Nityananda Prabhu reminded him that these devotees are really tired and really hungry. So let us go for bath and prasad. So they went to take bath and see, and then Lord Chaitanya personally arranged for prasad for all the devotees. He sat amongst them. You know how Lord Chaitanya would supervise. While he'd be taking prasad, he would be supervising the serving. It was very extraordinary, because he's within everyone's heart. He knew exactly what preparation each devotee wanted. And he would direct, give him sabji, sak. Give him karela. Give him rasgulla. Whatever every devotee wanted, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would immediately fulfill their inner desire. And after everyone had prasad, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as he did every day after prasad, he would go to his room to take rest. And Govinda, his servant, would massage his legs and feet. But on this particular day, Govinda was having a very hard challenge. Because Lord Chaitanya was laying right on the doorway. Prabhupada would call it the threshold. He told this story many times. He said, threshold? What is it? And the devotee said, doorway. Yes, doorway. So Lord Chaitanya was laying with his head facing outward and his body was stretched out, blocking the entire entrance to the doorway. Now, Govinda had to massage his feet. But he can't walk over the beautiful golden body of Lord Gauranga. That's a terrible offense. So he just tapped Lord Chaitanya and said, please roll over to one side so I can just somehow slip beside you and get in to massage your feet. Lord Chaitanya didn't say anything. So Govinda, again and again, he said, my Lord, please just roll over a little to one side. I have to get in to massage you. And Lord Chaitanya said, I am too tired. tired. I cannot move. So again, Govinda said, I want to massage your feet, my Lord. It's my service. And Lord Chaitanya said, I cannot move. Do it or don't do it. Whatever is in your mind. So that gave certain liberties to Govinda, that instruction. Do it or don't do it, whatever is in your mind. So what he did is he took a piece of cloth, sacred cloth, and put it over a part of Lord Chaitanya's body, and then he stepped over that part of the body covered with cloth and went inside the room and massaged the Lord's lotus feet and his legs and the back of his back. Now, usually he would do that for 1/2 hour every day. And after 1/2 hour, Lord Chaitanya's remnants were always waiting for Govinda. He would take his prasad. Now here, prasad was already hours late because the dancing went on too long. So Govinda, for 45 minutes, massaged the Lord. Then the Lord awoke, and he saw Govinda sitting at his feet, massaging. And the Lord became angry. He said, Govinda, what are you doing? It's already so late. Have you taken your prasad? Govinda said, no. He said, why haven't you taken your prasad? And Govinda said, because you're blocking the door. I can't get out. And the Lord said, oh, of course you could get out. The same way you came in, you could have come out. Why didn't you do that to take your prasad? Govinda was completely silent. But in his mind, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains, he was thinking silently, my dear Lord, to please you and render my service to you, I am willing to commit hundreds and thousands of offenses. I'm willing to suffer perpetually for your service. But for my own sense gratification or my own needs, I am greatly fearful to commit even a reflection of an atomic particle of any type of an offense. This was the thoughts in his heart. But he did not say a word. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita explains that Lord Chaitanya staged this whole pastime because he wanted to show the glory of a Vaishnava. And in a beautiful morning walk in Sri Mayapur Dham, Prabhupada is telling this story, and he's explaining it with the purport that affection and love between a devotee and the Lord is the ultimate principle. And everything is meant to facilitate that. Without love, without affection, without compassion, all rules and regulations are empty. They're hollow. They're meaningless. Or at least without the sincere desire and aspiration to achieve that love and affection through following of regulative principles. That is the essence. In Mayapur Dham, some Gaudiya Vaishnavas were criticizing Prabhupada because he was building a guest house in Mayapur before a temple. And Prabhupada was explaining, unless I have a place for the devotees, how could we do anything else? The Lord is concerned with the welfare of his devotees. These people are coming from all parts of the world and they're performing such severe hardships to help. It is my duty, it is my love for them, it is my love for Krishna to take care of them. It is based on love, reciprocation of love. And that is what bhakti is all about. And if we miss that point, we miss everything. And when this spirit is shared between the Vaishnavas, when they come together to chant the holy names, Sri Sri Radha, Shamsundar, and Vrindavan descends in that kirtan to purify the entire universe. Chaitanya Bhagavat describes when the devotees raise their arms while chanting the holy names, then by their raising the arms, the power of Krishna's mercy through Harinam actually expands throughout the universe. Is it time for the drama yet?
Well, there's more time.
Really? Very nice. These children are very compassionate. Very good. Very good. So through this beautiful narration of Govinda's selfless service, Lord Chaitanya revealed what is bhakti and how our beloved Srila Prabhupada personified this type of bhakti in his loving mission. Would anyone like to ask any questions or make any comments on this subject? Yes, Vishakha Prabhu. Amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. It is not a Vaishnava quality to think that I'm better than you, my guru is better than yours. Might be better for you, but it doesn't mean it's better for everyone. Because Krishna is manifesting and attracting people's faith. Yes, that is the Krishna factor. And we see in India, these things aren't such problems. It's mostly in the West, because Westerners have certain egos that, you know, you have to be in this movement, or you have to have this guru, or you have to do this. But I hear it from so many people in so many ways everywhere. It's not just between one camp and another, it's between so many. Years ago, I went to one temple and they told me that if you are not following this particular guru, you cannot go to Goloka Vrindavan. That was about 15 years ago. That's their faith. If that's your faith, all right. But to try to superimpose our understandings on others, on other Vaishnavas, is offensive. We may not have the same understanding as someone else, or they may not have the same understanding as us. Why should we always be comparing and competing? I mean, there was a Sankirtan team of Narottam Das Thakur, who was a disciple of Lokanath Goswami, Srinivasacharya, who was a disciple of Gopal Bhatta Goswami, And Shyamananda, who is a disciple of Hriday Chaitanya Goswami, and the best, dearest friend and preaching partner of Narottam Das Thakur, was Ramchandra Kaviraj, who's a disciple of Srinivasacharya. They had such deep love and respect and affection for the Vaishnavas, for their gurus, for their faith in their gurus, and therefore they were really one. They loved each other. But if it's, you know, you should be like me, you should have my faith, it's chaos. Someone may think, my guru is more better than yours, or my guru is better than yours, or my movement is better than yours, or my mat is better than yours. We may think that, but to superimpose that upon another devotee who is in a proper parampara will simply create havoc. So it's very simple. Amani na manadena. Offer respects to Vaishnavas, offer respects to their faith, and if there's a mutual relationship like that, there can be love, there can be affection. At our temple in Bombay, we have several devotees initiated by Gaudiya Mathas. They've been living with us for 12 years. And they are as integrally and intimately a part of our family, and we for them, as anyone. Because they respect our faith in Prabhupada, and they respect the devotees' faith in their particular gurus, and our devotees completely encourage and accept the faith that they have in their gurus. And everybody loves each other. There's never been the slightest atomic particle of friction, because there's just mutual respect. We may not necessarily believe so much in their guru, and they may not so much in ours, but we show that etiquette because it's Vaishnavism. An amazing thing, one of them, when their guru was leaving the body, this person was a prominent devotee, a very well-known kirtan singer of Gaudiya Mathas. When we go to Mayapur, they would say, oh, you know Jagadish, that was his name. Yes, yes, he's living at your temple, very good, excellent cook, excellent kirtan, he's very well known. So his guru called him when he was leaving his body, and he was personally serving his Gurudev for the last couple months. And he was right, his Gurudev died, left his body, you know, practically right in his arms, amongst the other principal disciples. And then he came back to the temple, Radha Gopinath temple. And with the blessings of his guru, he came back, because his guru was so happy that we encouraged his faith so much, that when he came back, I'll never forget this, it was in the Prasadam hall, he fell at my feet weeping. He said, now my father has left. He said, but he's given me the blessings to accept you as my Shiksha Guru. He was weeping. Now this is an altogether different mat. But he absolutely respected our faith, and we respected his. There was never a question of us trying to make him an ISKCON man. He already was an ISKCON man. He was serving Prabhupada's mission in a wonderful way. And there was no question of him trying to convert anybody to his guru. As soon as there is this conversion mentality, there cannot be peace. There cannot be peace. It's simply historically impossible. The only way is when all sides respect and honor each other, their faith, their position, and their devotion. When that is there, there can be a beautiful, happy family of so many different Vaishnavas in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. But if there's just trying to change a person's faith from one to another, or convert them or recruit them, we should be recruiting the materialistic people. But Vaishnavas, we should offer respect and honor for whatever faith they have, even if it may not be what we agree with. I hope that answers your question to some extent. Thank you very much. And you,
it certainly looks like that, Isco nowadays. It doesn't follow the purpose of Sarva Dharma. I shall surrender to Krishna. Because we label everything. You know? Like, it's hard to, for me to accept that deep in their hearts, Hare Krishna devotees do not feel higher than the Muslims or the Mormons or whatever.
A devotee should not feel him or herself higher. But we do understand the transcendental treasure of the gift of what we've been given is unlimitedly high. Objectively, to understand God in his personal feature, in the intimate love of Vrindavan, we should respect all religious people. We should respect religious people, but at the same time, we understand Prabhupada told that our position is not simply to convert people, it's to enlighten people. And if we can bring people to the understanding of Radha Krishna's love in Vrindavan, that's just giving them a deeper, fuller, richer realization of spirituality. So that is preaching. But ourselves, all Gaudiya Vaishnavas who are under the proper line are teaching Lord Chaitanya's message, the ultimate goal of Vrindavan. So we should respect and honor one another in that way. Yes. As far as being a religion, Savai Pung Shang Paro Dharmo Yato Bhaktir Hokshaji Ahaitiki Aprati Hataya Yatma Suprasediti. Whatever religion, whatever occupation, its fulfillment is unconditional, unmotivated, selfless service to the Lord. Yes? Prabhupada explained, religion is to love God. Prabhupada was not sectarian. Prabhupada said, whatever religion you follow, it is only as good as we are developing love of God. And we can apply that to the Hare Krishna movement also. Yes?
We can certainly tell that he meant what he was saying.
Mm-hmm.
But my personal experience, when I meet devotees at different levels and they start talking about other religions or other group of people, or even other Vaishnavas, contrary to what you said right now, I never feel that they are lower, that the strong spirit. They are always a level above, but the tone, the inflection of their voice, wherever, it's not true humbleness manifest.
Ultimately, Krishna is in the heart and he knows what our motive is. So every devotee should be aware of Krishna watching from within the heart. We may be very bold. We may declare totalitarian war against misconception and impersonalism and all kinds of other things, but we should never think that we're great. We're doing it as humble servants, instruments of mercy of Krishna, Guru, and our parampara. We should always have that humble position. But humility sometimes means to be very bold, but not for oneself, in a spirit of actual compassion. Is that it? That makes sense. Prabhupada said, those who are my followers are perfect ladies and gentlemen. That means that's how devotees should appear to the people in general. That's preaching. Otherwise, why, like you're saying, if people think we're egoistic and self-righteous, why will they want to listen to us? Unless they see we're respectful, we're humble, we're ladies and gentlemen by their standards, they won't want to listen to us. Unless they see we're happy, we're united, we're happy with each other, we're happy with ourselves, and we're happy amongst each other, why will people take us seriously? So it is very important. If we want to speak about these very, very, very high philosophical spiritual principles, we have to very carefully make sure that the basics are in order. Following the regulative principles, being honest, being truthful. Believe it or not, these are qualifications in Bhagavad Gita. You're supposed to be honest and truthful and moral, and you're supposed to be good. It's not that we just transcend all those things and anything goes because we're Krishna's men or women. No. The qualities of Gita are very clear. Truthfulness, honestness, ethicalness, morality, humility. And on this foundation, we chant the holy names and we build into something glorious. Then people will actually recognize that this is something very good. These people are good. I'd like to tell you one nice thing. This is very important. When I heard this particular statement of Prabhupada, it struck my heart like a thunderbolt. Do we have time to say it?
Yes. Always.
They're ready.
If you finish, we want to hear. Yes, that's right.
We are not ready.
Prabhupada said like this. He was having a discussion with a PhD candidate who was doing their thesis on gurus coming to the West and how they are impacting the culture of the West. Yes? So she was asking Prabhupada the question, how do you think the Hare Krishna movement has impacted the culture of the West? And Prabhupada said to her, what is the culture of the West? And then he asked her, what is your religion? She said, Christian. He said, do you eat meat? She said, yes. He said, well, Jesus said, thou shalt not kill. Why are you not following that? So he was actually speaking on behalf of the silent children of God, the animals, who cannot speak for themselves. He was advocating mercy for them. And she wanted to change that subject. So she asked, can I ask you a philosophical question, Swamiji? Should I let the thunderbolt go now? Prabhupada answered. He said, philosophy without good character has no meaning. Think about that. Philosophy without good character has no real meaning. We may have the highest philosophy, but if we don't have good character, there'll be no realization, there'll be no revelation, and we won't even really transform people's hearts deep. If becoming a big philosopher makes you proud, makes you think you're better than others, causes you to offend others. It's better to be a sincere street sweeper. Prabhupada said, better a sincere street sweeper than a charlatan meditator. Yes, religion without philosophy is sentimentalism or fanaticism, and philosophy without religion is mental speculation. The marriage of the two are necessary. But if the basic foundation of good character is not there in our life, Prabhupada says, all the philosophy we speak has very little meaning. In my years as a devotee, you know, I've seen people who can speak really, really elegantly. I've seen professors. I've gone to classes and to seminars where there are professors who literally have memorized in perfect Sanskrit most of the books of the Goswamis, and they can speak on any subject while they're smoking cigarettes and drinking alcohol. They don't even believe in it. It's just their, it's their occupation. So Krishna consciousness is not about memorization. It's not about charisma. It's not about tapasya. Krishna consciousness is about Gopi Bharatur Pada Kamala Yoru Dasa Dasa Anu Das, being the humble servant of the servant of the servant. Where I see genuine dedication and I see real attempt for humility and I see a sincere effort to follow, to chant the holy names of the Lord and to hear about the Lord, that's a great Vaishnava. That's a person I want to just get their mercy. Not people who are proud, judgmental, arrogant. Whatever they know, whatever they could do, whatever they don't do. I've seen yogis who don't eat anything. They just live by breathing air. But they had immense false egos. So it's better if they just eat puris covered with sugar and become humble devotees. Right? Yes, wherever Lord Chaitanya told Sanatana Goswami, your humility is breaking my heart. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains Sharalata. He says, the first principle of a devotee's character is simplicity. Simplicity and humility. Without these qualities, anything else we could do, anything else we know, is not really going to be pleasing to Krishna. Without simplicity and humility. Because this simplicity and humility actually make the heart receptive to love. Does that address your words? Thank you. They are ready? So now the children are going to rescue you from this class to continue. Are you Narada Muni? Thank you very, very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.